Anyone guess what is one of the world's most asked questions today? I'll give you a hint, it's not, are we there yet? Would you like fries with that? Why? Any others? No? All right, how much does it cost? That is one of the world's most asked questions of today. And more than ever, this question burdens more and more people. We live in a world where the cost of living just keeps getting higher and higher, and wages in comparison just keep getting smaller and smaller. There is more and more pressure being placed upon us to have more and more creature comforts and to keep up with technology. We get miles and miles of catalogues in your letterbox, unless you're like me that has one of those little things that says no junk mail because it drives me insane. But we do, isn't there? They're huge, the piles of junk mail that comes, of catalogues each week. Yeah, and the ads on television tell us that life is not complete without this or without that. You know, we have discount shops like The Warehouse or Crazy Clark's, you know, factory direct shops where we can go and buy direct from the factory. So we are being forced to become smarter shoppers. But everything of value has a price to pay. And the more we pay for an item, especially in the world of technology, the more options you have available at hand. You know, a more expensive computer can open up a whole new world for you today, but it will cost you. The same is true of our training and education. Now, if you want to become a doctor or a lawyer or an athlete or a musician or anything you want to become, but generally speaking, we can become anything or get anything if we're willing to pay the price. And you know, it's true of becoming a Christian. It will cost. And there's no chance of avoiding the fare. But Jesus never deceived us of the price that we would have to pay when we became a Christian. Jesus, in the passage we read earlier, described the cost involved. And there are three costs that every Christian must outlay. The first cost to be a Christian is denial. The second is dedication. And the last is imitation. And all three of these come at a price. So we're going to look at the first one. Oh, that's all right. To be a Christian involves denial. And there are many interpretations of Jesus' statement in the Bible verses we read earlier that says, let him deny himself. Now some second century followers of Jesus began to look down upon all forms of ownership and possessions. And some Christians began to view material things as evil. But I don't think this is what Jesus was getting at. Jesus did not mean that we had to withdraw from the world to be properly related to it. Some 21st century believers also have the unusual interpretations of this statement. Some think that denying self involves denying some kinds of food or some pleasures in life or some comforts. Now, Jesus did not say this statement for no reason. What he meant was that when you become a Christian, you are to completely relinquish, surrender, and renounce your own life. Everything that we do must be done with the eternal goal in view, must be done to grow the kingdom of God and not be for self-gain. It's not about what we get. It's about what we want to get. Sorry, it's about why we want to get it. We have to ask ourselves the tough questions and be prepared to do the hard yards. We cannot confess that Jesus is Christ and Lord of our lives and then challenge his choices. He is either God and we submit to him, or he is not and we go on our own way. So in brief, to deny yourself means to decisively reject the motives and the desires that come from your sinful nature or our sinful nature, and choose instead to follow Jesus completely. But you know, it can be hard to give up the security that we've known that has sustained us until we got to know Jesus, and to know that we don't have to do this on our own. We simply need to do what the little boy did not think of to do in this following story I'm about to tell. You know, there was this little boy who was doing his best to lift a rock that was too large for someone of his size. He grunted and he puffed as he tried various methods for lifting the rock. but in spite of all his efforts, the rock just wouldn't budge. His father walked by, and after watching his son struggle, he asked if he was having trouble. And the boy answered, "Yes, I've tried everything, and it won't move." And the father replied, "Well, are you sure you've tried every possibility? You've used every resource at your disposal? The boy looked up with frustration, and exhaustion filled his face, and he grunted out a yes. And with kindness, his father bent over and softly said, "No, my son, you haven't. You haven't asked me for help." How often are we like that little boy, struggling with our problems but unable to solve them because we have not asked our Heavenly Father for his help? Our struggles to deny ourselves may not be the problems like this little boy's, but the answer to where our help will come from is the same. It's in our Father, our Heavenly Father. Now, the second cost to be a Christian involves dedication. And once again, there are many interpretations of Jesus' statement to take up his cross. Some people see taking up the cross as a burden that has to be endured, a suffering to be experienced, or an annoyance to be tolerated. But when Jesus says to take up his cross, he means for us to follow the will of the Father. And the suffering that can occur and will occur if we totally denounce our past life is what constitutes the cross for us. Now, there are some strong implications of taking up our cross. And one is that to take up the cross, we are to dedicate ourselves to God's will. Jesus showed us an awesome example of this when he gave into the wishes and desires of his Father and went to the cross. And secondly, to take up the cross means to expect results. Jesus obeyed his Father's will, and it meant the world's opposition. The world rejected Christ and still rejects him, but he gives the individual the challenge to accept his offer. Likewise, when we decide to do God's will in our lives, we need to expect opposition from the world. Now, some Christians have even had to give up their life for this cause. So to be a Christian means to be dedicated to our Master. We are called to show our dedication in so many ways, and very rarely is that an easy thing to do. The third cost to be a Christian involves imitation. Now, all that Christ asked us to do was to follow me. It's easy, isn't it? Follow me. Some days, no, it's not. You know, what a tall order it is when we consider the person of Christ. You know, his personality, his compassion, his gentleness, his kindness, his grace, his understanding. You know, I could keep going. Now, probably 10 or so more years ago, there was a big movement in the Christian world around the WWJD bracelets. Did anyone have one? I had one. And WWJD stood for What Would Jesus Do? And the idea was that you wore it, and when you came to something in life that happened and you had to make a decision, that would be a reminder to think, well, what would Jesus do? You know, it was a roadmap to following Jesus. And that's not a bad thing, but it was a huge challenge. I found it very challenging, because I don't think we are really able to imagine what Jesus would do in every situation. We can only try to imagine and imitate. And if our heart is right with God, we will not go too far wrong. To follow Jesus really means to adopt his manner of living in words and actions. This is a hard thing to do, but not impossible with the power of the Holy Spirit helping us. We cannot do it on our own. And after all, we are just human. But there is a basic model that we can follow, and it can be seen in the way that Jesus lived his life, in the practices that patterned his life. Now, Jesus attended worship regularly in the synagogue and in the temple. He practiced the habit of regular and organized prayer. He accepted people for who they were, and he sought the highest good for people. He detested rebellion against God. He obeyed the Father in every possible way. And if we study the life of Jesus more closely, we will find many more clues how to follow the example and imitate Jesus better in our own lives. It was through Jesus' life that God gave us as followers a pattern to live by. And in reality, Christ's path determines ours. That's why as Christians we're given the name of followers of the way. It's our duty to get to understand Jesus and to know him better in order that we can follow more closely. But this thought might just have you trembling in your boots, because it seems like a big ask that we can rely on Jesus' power to help us imitate the Master. We need to remember that it's not really a race to the end, because when we take daily steps of obedience, we gradually become a new person that Christ died for us to become. You know, life like sand trickles through our fingers, whether we want it or not. And to take hold of it more tightly means that it not only flows faster from us when we pursue worldly ambitions rather than following Christ's lead. We should not find ourselves in a position where it would be time to call attention to the simple wisdom of that modern proverb, when all else fails, follow directions. You know, the moon shines in the night sky because of reflected light from the sun. And without that reflected light, the moon would become lost in the darkness of space. The believer in Christ shines only because of the reflection of Christ's light in their life. And without that reflected light, the believer becomes lost in the darkness of the world and sin. I would rather reflect the light of Christ than be lost in sin, wouldn't you? Consider the cost of becoming a Christian and of being a Christian. It involves denial of self, dedication to the Lord's way, an imitation of Christ's life. Are you prepared to pay that price? The bad news is this, is the Lord never marks down his requirements. You know, there'll be no catalogue sales. There are no sales in discipleship. But the good news is that if you are prepared to pay the full price, you will have a life that will be so exciting and the adventures will be unlimited. The kingdom is already a good price. If we hard-headed business people can see it. And I ask the band if they'd like to come back up.